Hebrews chapter 12, beginning at verse number 1. The Bible says, "Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls." Tonight, let's talk on this subject, the race that is set before us. You know, as we begin this narrative here, the first thing that we need to look at is, once again, that word, therefore. Richard gave us a good analysis on that word this morning. And as we look at this narrative here, we want to go back to where this came from, this understanding, and what the writer wants us to know. And going back and look at the encouragement from those who went on before us in this race for eternal glory. In the previous chapter, chapter 11, the Bible reminds us of the great sacrifices that were made by those men and women who displayed such great faith even in times of suffering. They went through suffering, and when they did so, when they did it by faith, they triumphed for the cause of God. Men like Abel, who was the first to die and be murdered by his brother, who was jealous of him because he showed such great faith in giving to God what God wanted as a sacrifice. We think of men like Noah, who was told by God to build a great boat or an ark, even though it had never rained where they were at. Noah listened to God and by faith obeyed his commands. And then we can think about men like Abraham, who had heard the voice of God and told him to leave his homeland and to journey into some place that he had never known existed. But by faith, he listened to God and was blessed for it. And then we can think about men like Isaac, men like Jacob, men like Joseph, who through great faith continued that line of succession, which would be the promised seed that would come and will bring salvation to the world. And I think about men like Moses, who at one point in his life had it all in the Pharaoh's palaces, but yet, through much tribulations and despair, he was asked to go back to Egypt by God and to lead a fickle and stiff-necked people out of bondage. And then when he was on the cusp of the promised land, being not able to go in, God gave him a panoramic view of the place in which the children of Israel were to go, and given him a view of a great promised land which he was to go to one day. All these men, blessed by God because of their faith, and not only men, but women as well, women like Sarah and women like Rahab, who are mentioned in the text, women who showed great faith and obedience to God. All of these, and more whom this writer talks about here in the book of Hebrews here in chapter 11, all of them as our examples of people of great faith who ran this race before us. And as the Bible says of them, they obtaining a good testimony through faith, because it was there in the Almighty that they followed. They followed God, and they were preserved through their struggles, and they came through on the other side all right. This is why we read in Romans chapter 8 and about verse number 28. It says that God works together for good. Those who love God. So those who are called according to his purpose. You see, no matter what situation we might go through, God always works it out for our benefit. And you know, it says that it was according to God's purpose. And we must understand, whatever God proposes for us, it can never be wrong. Now, back to our text here in chapter 1, or chapter 12, rather, in verse number 1. He says there, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and every sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. You know, it talks about this idea that this cloud, and when we think about a cloud, we think of something that hovers over us. Remember in the days when Israel had left Egypt, and they had built the tabernacle, and they were going towards the promised land. There was the cloud that was God that was over the tabernacle. It hovered over them to remind them that God was with them. Well, here, the Hebrew writer writes that these witnesses are like this cloud that hovers over us. And they are our example and our witnesses that if we remain faithful to God, that God's blessings will be upon us as well. And then he says, let us run this race which is set before us. Now, this is where we have to make it personal, okay? We have to make this personal because each person is going to have to run their own race. You see, no one else is going to run this race for you. No one else can run this race for you. You know, we can't get into heaven on our mother's merits, on our father's merits, on our brothers, our sisters, or anybody else. This race is a race we're going to have to run ourselves. It's not like a relay either. You know, you can't run it for a little while and hand off the baton to somebody else to finish it for you. You're going to have to run this race to the end. That's why we have to make this personal. And this is why he says that we have to run this race with endurance. That is, we have to have some patience when we run this race. Because when we run this race, it's not going to be easy. In the book of Acts, chapter 14, right around verse number 22, we read of how the apostle Paul, who had gone about establishing different congregations throughout the areas in which he had traveled, and through much suffering and much pain and much tribulation that he went through in doing this, we find here in Acts chapter 14, we find that he had just been left for dead in Derbe, and then he leaves there and turns around and comes right back to the place in which they had stoned him. But the reason why he did this, in verse 22 of Acts 14, it says that he was strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying, look what he says here, we, that's us, he says, we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. You see, this race is not going to be easy. This is why we are going to need some endurance. This is why we're going to need some patience. And this is why we're going to need some spiritual strength in order to get through and get to the end of this race. And the only way we're going to get this is from God and from God's word, so that we are able to run with endurance this race that is set before us. And then if you look back, he gives us some words as to what we need to do in order for us to prepare ourselves for running this race. Look what he says. He says that we are to lay aside every weight and the sin which easily ensnares us. Anything that will keep you from running this race, we need to get rid of it. Anything that will hinder us from running this race, we need to let it go. You know, when I was in junior high school, in high school, I know they call junior high middle school now. I guess I'm dating myself. I used to run track. And one of the things that I knew about running track, I used to run the short distance, and didn't do anything like the mile or anything like that. But I knew that in order for me to run and to be somewhat successful, I had to have the least amount of clothes on and lightweight sneakers in order to run it successfully. Now, back in my day, we didn't have fancy running shoes. They were out there, but we couldn't afford it. So the same sneakers I used for running track was the same sneakers I used on the basketball court. So I had high top sneakers and the shoelaces and everything. But like I said, couldn't afford to buy nice running shoes. Well, I remember one time we went to a national tournament, and there were some schools there that were from a little higher class areas. And I remember looking over at some of the shoes that they had on, and they were just looked like slippers. They were lightweight, low cut, and they didn't have shoestrings. And I'm saying to myself, how do you run in that? So I went to my coach and I asked him about it. He said, oh, no, those are running shoes right there. He said, they are so light, it's almost like running without anything on your feet. And I said, okay, but why no shoelaces? He said, well, because if they come loose while you're running, you're going to fall. So I thought about that and I said, well, that's what I want. Because I want to have the best equipment that I can have and able to run this race. So I wanted to get rid of the sneakers with the shoelaces and able to run a better race. Well, I thought about that when I was thinking about this. We want to have the best equipment, and we want to get rid of all those things that will stop us for successfully running the race. And sin is one of those things that will stop you from running the race. They're like those shoelaces. As soon as you start running, they come loose, and here you are ensnared in it and falling on your face. So in order to be successful, as he says here, we need to lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And then he says, we can be successful in running this race that is set before us. And I want you to notice this now. He says in the text that this is a race that is set before us. In other words, the course of this race has already been laid out. The finish line has already been marked. All we have to do is run the race so that we can make it to the finish line. We don't have to mark the course. We don't have to lay it out. We don't have to figure it out. It's already set before us, and this course leads from earth to heaven. All we have to do is get on it and run it. And if we are successful, heaven will be our home. But let us be mindful of this, that as we run this race, there will be obstacles along the way. And these obstacles will always try to take us off course. It will try to turn us around. It will try to make us run in the wrong direction, and sometimes even try to make us quit altogether. You see, sometimes along this course, we're going to face financial difficulties. Sometimes along this course, we're going to face relationship problems. Sometimes along this race, we're going to have family issues. And these things sometimes try to make us doubt ourselves and also doubt God. You know, you might be facing physical or mental persecution. Along this course, you will find false teachers, false preachers, teaching false doctrine, trying to get you to run a different race, and try to get you running in the wrong direction. And sometimes, when you're running this race, you might look at it and say, well, I'm the minority. Everybody else seems to be running in the other direction. And sometimes you start thinking, well, maybe I'm on the wrong course. Well, let me remind you what Jesus said. Matthew chapter 7, and right around verse number 13. Jesus would say this. He would say, enter in by the narrow gate. He said, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many that go in by it. That's the minority, or the majority. And then he says this, but narrow is the way, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. You see, we need to keep our focus on the prize, that prize that is set before us. We need not worry about the things that we cannot control. But what we can control is how we run this race, trying to make it from here to our eternal home. And you know something? You know what I like about this race? Is that it doesn't matter if you come in first or not. You know, you can come in dead last and still get that crown, because all you need to do is finish the race. But in order to get the crown, you're going to have to run the race, and also you're going to have to play by the rules. You're going to have to know what you need to do in order to be able to run this race successfully. So here's a question. How do I qualify to run this race that is set before me? Well, the first thing we have to understand is that we have to have faith in God. But not only that, but we have to be obedient to His word. You know, there are two things that have always been what man has had to do in order to please God. Throughout all three of the dispensations, throughout the patriarchal dispensation, throughout the Mosaic dispensation, and even in this Christian dispensation, two things was always required of mankind. That is that we have to have faith in God, and that we had to be obedient to His commands. In John chapter 14, in verse number 15, Jesus Himself would say, if you love me, keep my commandments. So as a faithful servant of God, we are going to always have to first have faith in God and be obedient to his words. And you know, there is no exceptions. There's no exceptions for anyone not to do as God has required them to do. Excuse me. So you see now, when you run this race, there are going to be rules that you have to follow. And if you don't follow the rules, you will be disqualified. I want you to turn your Bibles to the 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And right around verse number 24. I want you to see what the Apostle Paul talks about here. Read about in verse number 24 of 1 Corinthians chapter 9. He says this. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Now let me clarify some things here, because earlier I just said that it doesn't matter where you come in. But Paul is trying to give us an explanation of a physical race. And he says this because after this, he says, run in such a way that you may obtain it. Our attitude towards running this race should be that there is one crown and I want to get it. That should be our individual attitude. There's one crown and I want to get it. Because truly, there is only one crown for you. The other crown belongs to somebody else. But it's there for you. And you need to run this race as if it's the only one there so that you can get it. And that's what Paul is trying to say. He said, run in a way that you may obtain it. And then he says, and everyone who competes for the prize is temperate. That is, having self-control in all things. And then he says, now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. He says, therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. You see, Paul said, I'm not running this thinking that I'm going to get a prize, thinking I'm going to get a crown. I know that I'm going to get a crown. That's what keeps me strong in running this race. That's what keeps us strong in running this race, because we have certainty. Not uncertainty, but we have certainty that God will come through with his promise. If he says he's going to give us a crown, we finish this race, we run it faithfully, and we get to the end, guess what? We can expect it to be there. So he says, I don't run this not with uncertainty. He says, thus I fight. Not as one who beats the air. In other words, it's not like shadow boxing, just punching at the air. He said, thus I fight. He says, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Paul was certain of things. That's why he said he fights on. He told Timothy in 1 Timothy 6 and 12, he said, fight the good fight of faith. Because we're going to have that kind of fight in us in order for us to get through this race. Okay? So now how do we qualify to run this race? And what do we need to have in order to be successful in reaching this finish line? Well, think about a runner for a minute. A runner is going to prepare himself with the best equipment, like I said, and prepare himself mentally in order to run the course. You ever see, I know some of you watch the Olympics, or maybe you've run track and you've been on the track, and I remember doing this because I was taught by a track instructor. He said, you have to visualize that course. You have to visualize going around that bend. I used to run the 200 too. He said, you visualize this thing. You prepare your mind for this race. So I think about what Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 5. When he says this, he says, "And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules." So we have to prepare our minds to understand what it is that God would have us to do in order for us to run this race. And the first thing you need to do is obey the gospel. That's the first thing that you need to do. Because there's just no sense in running this race unless you first obey the gospel of God. Because when you obey the gospel, you are acknowledging the fact that you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins. And that you are willing now to die to sin and to change your life. To follow him and do according to what he commands you to do. So that's the first thing you need to do. And then you need to be acknowledging that you are putting all your faith and trust in him and allow him to guide you in the pathway of righteousness. This is what the psalmist says when he talks about this in Psalms chapter 31 and verse number 3. He says, "For you are my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for your name's sake, lead me and guide me." Notice what he says. First, he acknowledges God. He said, "You are my rock and my fortress." He said, "Now that I have acknowledged that, now that I put trust in you, now that I am willing to listen to you," he says, "now, God, lead me and guide me." See, the reason why some people can't run this race is because they're not letting God lead them and guide them. I told you that the course is already set, but there's too many people who want to make their own course and run a different race. Well, if you run a different race, you're going to end up in a different place. But then the psalmist says in Psalm 73 and 24, he says, "You will guide me with your counsel. And afterwards," oh, I like this, "and afterwards receive me to glory." You see, it is by God's word that we are guided. And it is by his words that we are instructed. And we are instructed on how to enter the race, so that we might be able to get this crown of glory. And we are instructed also on how to run this race. Now, let me tell you the reason why we have to believe in Christ. Because some people out in the world, they have this idea and this thought that we don't have to follow. I'll just follow God. I don't have to follow Christ. But let me tell you why we have to believe in Christ. It's right here in the text. Look what it says further on in verse number 2. It says, "Looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith." You know, when he says he's the author, he is the originator, okay? He is the author and he is the finisher. He is the perfecter of our faith. This is why we have to believe in Jesus. Because when we finish this race that is set before us, it is he who is going to recognize our efforts. And by faith, and the faith that we display, when we display it in him and we have our faith, we will be perfected in his sight. We will at that point be considered truly whole and perfect in his sight when we finish this race. In 1 John chapter 3, in verse number 2, the Bible says, "Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. So, we need to run this race by faith. And we need to run it by faith and joy and in hope that when we get to the finish line, our Lord will be there waiting to welcome us home. And then the reason that we can do this is that he himself completed what was set before him in order for him to be glorified with God the Father. He had a course that was set before him, and he finished his course. Look what it says the last part of verse number 2 there. After he says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And then look what verse number 3 says. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You see, our Lord, he endured the agony and pain and went to his death that we might be able to be free from our sins and be able to receive salvation. And also that reconciliation with God our Father. So you see this race that we have, this race, this course that is set before us, this course is paved by his blood. Because if not for the shedding of his blood, we would still be lost. But because of the shedding of his blood, we can be saved from this sinful world. This is why the writer goes on to say that we need to consider him who endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So here's an admonition and some encouraging words that he says. We need to continue to run this race until we get to the finish line. Because think about this. Jesus himself came to earth from heaven. And as Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 2, he says he made himself of no reputation, but took on the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of man and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. You see, what was set before him? He completed it. Now, we are encouraged by his example to finish our race. Because just as he was rewarded for finishing and completing what he had to do, we will be rewarded as well with that crown of glory that we will have forever. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 24, the Bible says, then comes the end. When he, that is Christ, delivers the kingdom, that's the church, that's us, to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule, all authority, and all power. I'm certainly looking forward to that day. When God puts an end to everything, and Christ delivers up the church to him. Because I want to be in that number when that day happens. But I can't get there unless I go through here. I can't get there until I get in the race. And I got to get in the race, and I got to play by the rules so that I can make it to that eternal glory. It's up to each and every one of us to get into the race that is set before us. Because if we do, and we finish the course, we can say like the Apostle Paul said, 2 Timothy 4, 7 and 8, he says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. He says, finally, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. So tonight, the question is for you. Are you in the race? Are you running this race faithfully? Are you attending to God's word so that you can make it to the finish line? If you are, keep on running. But if you have gone off course, and we do sometimes, we need to come on back and get it back in order and get on track. But if you have not even entered the race, why not consider it tonight? You have a golden opportunity to be able to get on course, to stop running in the wrong directions, to stop doing the things that you know that are wrong to do, and get going on this race to heaven. Get going on this course, because God died for you. Jesus shed his blood for you so that you might be able to be with him and enjoy eternal life. We have a song of invitation that we have picked out. What number was that, Brother Chuck? 335. And if you need to come, come by having faith in God, believe in him, repent of your sins, confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and come and be baptized in the watery grave of baptism, that you might come in contact with the blood of Christ, that blood that he shed for you. And then if you will live faithful unto death, you finish this race. Waiting for you will be a crown of glory, eternal life. If you need to come, come as we stand and sing the invitation song.